Welcome to Solder Smoke, a podcast by radio amateurs with a focus on homebrew electronics. We get together on the internet to swap ideas about radio construction projects. Our website is www.soldersmoke.com. Please send feedback to soldersmoke, that's one word, at yahoo.com. So, as we step away from our soldering irons and oscilloscopes, please join us for another edition of Solder Smoke. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Solder Smoke 57. It's the 6th of May, 2007, just about 0600 Greenwich Mean Time. The planes are starting to go overhead on their way on final approach into Heathrow, and it's time for another edition of Solder Smoke. You know, sometimes it seems like you're just destined to build something. There's a project out there that seems to have your name on it, that you seem fated to build, and I'm involved in a project like that right now. I had one before. I wrote about it in a little magazine called Electric Radio. It was about a tube receiver using 6U8 tubes. And when I wrote about that project, I said that I didn't even realize it, but the parts seemed to be gathering themselves together in the corner of the workshop, and they came together almost by a process similar to spontaneous combustion. the fire was sparked by a magazine article by Lou McCoy called "A Mate for a Mighty Midget," a simple superhet that you could build using 3 6U8 tubes. Anyway, that's what happened with that project. The parts just seemed to come together. All of a sudden, I realized I had everything in the junk box I needed to build this thing, and along came the article, and that's what made me build it. So a similar dynamic seems to be at work right now, guys, and it has to do with the W7ZOI power meter. Mike and I had discussed this meeting, this particular meter, several times. Mike used it in his experiments on the return loss bridge, and you can see pictures of Mike's version of it on his website. Mike, and I think in our last Solder Smoke together, offered to build one for me, and I told him that I didn't want to put him to the trouble, and that I'd think about putting one together myself. I have several times expressed reluctance to build my own test gear. I think you normally draw the line at building the rigs. I'll build the rigs, but building the test gear always, to me, seemed a little bit like going off the deep end. You know, soon you'll be insisting on mixing your own solder and things like that. So you have to draw a line here somewhere. And I normally drew the line at not building the test gear. But, well, there's been a need for accurate RF power measurement here in my workshop for a long time. The RF probe, the old RF probe with the diode and the capacitor, will only get you so far, especially if you're dealing with really low power levels. West, W7ZOI, has a couple of times kind of gently hinted that I needed better measuring capabilities in this area. After all, I guess that's what experimental methods in RF design is all about. Points out the need to have measurement capability as you employ the experimental method described in the book. Then things started to move. A few weeks ago, Thomas, LA3PNA, up there in Norway, was kind enough to just put in the mail a little package of chips. And in that little package of chips, is the logarithmic detector that is the heart of the W7ZOI wattmeter. He also sent me along the op amp that I needed. So I started thinking, well, you know, this is another sign that I should be moving forward on this thing. And I started trying to dig up the article describing it. And I realized that the article was sitting right there on the CD that comes with Experimental Methods for RF Design. So put the CD in the computer and hit the print button, and now I have I have Wes's article from the June 2001 issue of QST, Simple RF Power Measurement by Wes Hayward and Bob Larkin. There it is. It's another incentive. But then, guys, the real clincher came when yesterday I started the first kind of pitiful efforts to clean up the shack in preparation for our move to Rome. And, well, you can imagine what it looks like. You know what Radio Shacks look like, especially if you're a home brewer. There are just boxes and boxes of junk radio equipment, parts, you know, broken radios that might yield parts, all kinds of good junk laying around the shack, but unfortunately a lot of it's got to go. Anyway, as part of this cleaning up effort, I started coming across, I had it in mind that I should keep my eye open for components that might be useful in the W7ZOY watt meter or power meter project. And you wouldn't believe it. The first thing, in about the first 10 minutes of cleaning, I came across the perfect enclosure for this thing, the perfect metal box, just exactly the right size. So I put that off to the side. Then I started thinking about the meter. I need a meter. And I have a box with assorted various meters that have worked their way into my possession over the years from hamfests and from stripping down discarded pieces of electronic junk. And there it was. I mean, it hasn't even been taken out of the packaging. It's in the original package from Radio Shack. The exact 0 to 15 volt DC Radio Shack meter that Wes and Bob used in their RF power meter project. So there it is. I've got the box. I've got the chips. I've even got the meter. I've got the switches. I've got the BNC connectors. This thing is practically making itself. And I think there's an element of fate and destiny in here. The radio gods want me to be able to measure RF power more accurately. They want me to fully participate in the experimental method approach to home brewing. So, thanks to Thomas, thanks to Wes, thanks to Bob for the article, thanks to Mike for pushing me in this direction, and thanks to my junk box for yielding all this great stuff. I'll be reporting on progress. This is a good kind of end of tour project here. It's something I can start and finish before we pull up stakes and head off to Rome. So that'll be one project. There's another sort of similar project going on, a similar dynamics taking place with another bit of, I guess you could call it test equipment, but certainly workbench equipment, and that's my power supply. I really have known for a long time that I need a better workbench power supply. And when I went to the Kempton Park Radio Rally or Hamfest last month and talked to Tony Fishpool, G4WIF, he gave me his great book, Simple Test Equipment for the QRP-er. And in there, there's the article on a current limiting power supply. And it says, an absolutely essential tool for home brewing is a variable voltage power supply with current limiting capability. One of the first items of test equipment I built when the QRP bug bit was the design shown in the diagram below. Most of the parts will probably be found in the junk box. And then Tony in the article goes along on and talks about the benefits not only of the voltage variable supply, but the current limiting capacity there, the ability to put an upper limit on how many amps or milliamps are going to come out of this thing. Here we go. We're joined right now, ladies and gentlemen, by two of our partners here in Solder Smoke, both coming at the same time. Billy and Maria have just woken up, and they're going to join me here as I record. takes a second here to get everybody seated. Hold on. There we go. Anyway, as I was saying, say hello, Billy.
Hi.
Say hello, Maria.
Hi.
All right, there we go. As I was saying, Tony was talking about the benefits of having a current limiting capability here. He said, he pointed out that this will help you keep the smoke inside the components that you are working on and prevent that that dreaded release of the internal smoke. 6 months prior to my meeting with Tony, Billy and I had been at the previous Kempton Park radio rally, and there I picked up a really fine-looking variable voltage current limited power supply. It's in a great box. I've got a picture of it at the very bottom of the Gadgeteer news page, if you guys want to take a look at what I'm talking about. And it's got the current limiting capability in there, but I started testing it a couple of weeks ago after reading Tony's book and discovered that the current limiting capabilities in there are pretty much gone. Something was wrong. I don't have a schematic on the thing, so I had to do a little bit of, I guess you could call it radio archaeology, going through trying to reverse engineer it and figure out the schematic and the circuit. And that wasn't a whole lot of fun, but I, after a while, got a sense of what the circuit was like and started doing some testing and discovered that one of the series PNP transistors in the current limiting circuit was pretty much gone. So I've been receiving some advice on this over the past few weeks after mentioning it on a previous edition of Solder Smoke. Alan Yates, one of our listeners down there in Australia, told me that I should consider more modern circuitry. And my original instinct was to try to stick with the discrete components. But then, after looking at Tony's circuit in the book using an L200 chip, it's just too simple, too easy to ignore. And so I'm going to use that circuit. I'm going to order some L200 chips, probably from Mauser. I'm going to use the same box that I got at the Kempton Park Rally. It's got a nice transformer in there, nice 18-volt transformer. It's got the rectifiers, it's got the switches, the power connections, it's all there. So that's another project that I should be able to take care of here before we close up our London operation. So I'll be arriving in Italy, I hope, with a greatly enhanced workbench capability, thanks to the help from Solder Smoke listeners around the world, as they say. All right. Hey, another bit of homebrew kind of inspiration that I wanted to share with you. Sometimes you not only do you get that kind of inspiration for a project, but every once in a while you get a really kind of memorable, I guess, inspirational QSO. And I had one of those just yesterday. It was with an old friend, Rolf. His home call is SM0FQW, Fox Quebec Whiskey. And I caught him when he was operating at his summertime QTH up in the northern part of Sweden, and he was using his call sign SM4FQW. Rolf and I used to talk all the time when I was out in the Azores as CU2JL. There was really almost perfect conditions between my location and Sweden, just about one good skip there on 17 meters. And I was talking to Rolf, either I almost always talked to him when he was at his summer location up in Mora in the northern part of Sweden. But we had these great summertime late night QSOs talking about technical things, and Rolf really helped me at a critical juncture in the construction of my 17-meter SSB transmitter. Here's what was going on. I had built this thing, and I had it on the air, but the alignment of the transmitter was not yet complete, and I didn't really have the kind of test gear at that point to do it, you know, kind of properly, the kind of the way you're supposed to do it. So anyway, I was struggling with it a bit, and I mentioned to Rolf during one of our contacts that I was having a bit of trouble getting this thing aligned properly. He offered to help right there in the middle of the contact, right there in the middle of the QSO. He offered to help, and he said that he would do a kind of by ear on the air alignment. What I had to do was I had to put the carrier oscillator frequency in the right spot related to the crystal filter and passband. So right there on the air with Ross listening up there in Mora, Sweden, and me sitting out there on São Miguel Island in the Azores, we made the adjustments. I just cracked the rig open. I reached in there with my little kind of adjustment tool, and I would turn it just a bit to the right or a bit to the left and say a few words, and Ross and Rolf would come back and let me know whether I had improved things or made things worse. And it was great fun, and it was the best way to adjust the rig under the circumstances. And I've never readjusted it. I've left it exactly where it was, and whenever I fire this thing up, I get good audio reports. So yesterday, I'm tuning around 20 meters, and on my Drake 2B, as I'm doing the shack cleanup that I just described, and I hear a familiar voice, and I'm listening, and it's a very nice QSO. They're discussing technical things, and all very interesting, and I realize that it's my old friend, Rolf, SM4FQW up there, operating from Mora. And I don't have any of the 20-meter equipment hooked up, and nothing. I don't have the antenna tuned for 20. I don't have the cables going to my 20-meter DSB rig. So I figured I'd just shoot Rolf a little email, tell him I'm listening in, and leave it at that. So I did. And of course, he came back on the air and said, "Hey, I just got an email from Bill, and he asked me if I could come on the air." And I shot back another email saying that the rig wasn't hooked up. The workshop cleanup project continued, and eventually I said, "Hey, I've got to try to have a real radio QSO with my old friend." So I kind of frantically pulled out the 20 meter double sideband ceramic oscillator rig that you guys have heard about, and hooked up power and hooked up the antenna. Did a quick adjust on the antenna, got the SWR pretty much where it was supposed to be. I cheated a bit because I sent another email at the end of Rolf's contact with the other station and told him to listen for me. So he was listening, and I gave him a call, and we made contact. He actually heard me. It wasn't what you'd call easy listening at his end, but he heard me, and it was a great contact. We talked for about 10-15 minutes, talked about old times and projects, caught up on things, and talked about my upcoming move to Rome. And I'm going to use it as this week's band sweep buzz segment. I think you guys would like to hear it. It's using the 20 meter ceramic double sideband transceiver. You'll hear, as we switch back and forth, you'll hear on a couple of occasions the rig's a little bit off frequency, and I think this is an indication of the drift that I get. I get a little bit of drift with the ceramic oscillator VXO in this rig. And sorry, at one point Rolf comments that he does have to use his RIT occasionally when tuning me in. So I don't think that the ceramic oscillator is anywhere near as stable as it would be if there were crystals in there instead of the ceramic. But clearly it works, and with a little bit of RITing at both ends. It's ugly, but it gets you there, as they say. So listen to that, and I'll put on, I guess, about 10 minutes of our contact from the Azores. I mean, not from the Azores, from London to Mora, Sweden. So here we go with this week's band sweep segment. Sugar Mike 4, Fox Queen Whiskey, Mike 0, Hotel Bravo Radio. Yes, Rolf, yeah, well, delighted to work you here on the little homebrew double sideband ceramic transceiver. And I'm recording this also. Maybe we'll put it on a podcast here. Yes, we're moving to Rome. Yeah, it's amazing. Time flies, but 4 years has gone past here in London. I don't even like to talk about it. It's just it's pretty sad that it's over. But that's where we're going. So I'll be on with some sort of Italian call sign, I suppose, here after the 1st of September. But I've been listening to you here all afternoon. It's been a great pleasure, and I couldn't resist the urge to try to put a little bit of RF out and see if I could make it all the way up to Mora. I know you're there at the summer house. SM4FQW M0HBR. Okay, Rolf, SM4FQW, M0HBR. Okay, very fine. Well, I'm only putting out now about 10 watts, about 10 watts double sideband, Rolf, so, and the antenna is not very good here. So I'm really happy to be making it all the way to Mora anyway. Anyway, yes, I think I had you out looking for meteors, I think it was. I think it was a meteor storm or something like that. Several summers ago when I was out in the Azores. Hey, I won't make you suffer with my weak signal. We'll be in Rome for 3 years, at least 3 years in Rome. And as a matter of fact, I'm just beginning the preparations. We leave London in mid-July, so about 2 more months in London, and then back to the States for a while, and then in Rome by September. I'll send you more details on email, Rolf, but really great to talk to you up there at the summer house, and I hope everything's okay with the family and with you mentioned your unusual pet, and I'll send my regards to him also. So SM4FQW, I'll say 73, Rolf, 73 from London. This is M0HBR.
Tell me, Bill, you're on 10 watts now, right? Well, I'm on 10 watts on your previous over, also over.
Yeah, I've been on 10 watts all along. I have a little linear that I could cut out. I can go down to, well, let me see what happens.
Oh, there's just that's less than 1 watt. Oh, that's not good. There goes the linear back on. So the linear takes me up. So I think the linear is doing the getting us through at least a little bit. You're a good strong signal here, Rolf. You've been 5.9 all afternoon. Occasional dips into the QSB, but I've had no trouble copying you all day. I know you have your antenna pointed towards the UK. SM4FQW, M0HBR.
M0HBR, Sugar Mike 4, Fox, Queen Whiskey is turning. That really makes the difference, Bill. 5 and 7 now, 57 with 10 watts. That makes a difference. The only thing is that when you come back to me, I always have to follow you with the rip, because you change in frequency from time to time. So I have to follow you with my rip here. That's easy, done. But you're 5 and 7, this over, and I got everything 100%. Yes, the meteors, of course. And yes, you're there. Golf Uniform Nancy Delta Echo is still around. You know, it's 13 years old, more than 13 years old now, as being a teenager. But he is very slow and sleeps most of the time, but comes up doing his business, what that means, and goes to bed again. And now when we brought him to the country house, he also wants to go out from time to time, so he's been out today, which is good for him. Otherwise, he lives in the apartment and doesn't want to leave it. So it's kind of old and tired, but still moving around.
And I'm sorry you have to chew me with the RIT. I must explain, this rig uses little ceramic resonators for the oscillator, and I might be having some little bit of a voltage regulation problem here with the supply, so I'll check on that. I'll see if I can stabilize it. Also, it hasn't been on too long, so it might get a little bit better as we go along. But this is a double sideband rig. I haven't used it in a long time. I haven't been on 20 in a long time. But when I heard you on this afternoon, I couldn't resist firing it up, and I've got it all laid out here right on the bench with all the wires exposed. It looks like a real octopus here on the workbench. SM4FQW, M0HBR.
M0HBR, Sugar Mike 4, Fox 3,
Whiskey is turning. There was a long QSB dip there when you talked about Italy, which made it a little difficult, but you came back in the end again, Bill.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know why from the Azores to London and now to Rome. Absolutely great. And the funny thing here is that you always contact me on mail. It's a bit fortunate because I used to have an internet connection here. I worked with a wireless connection. It was so shaky. So finally I gave it up, and now I've pulled a long network cable from my sister's house over the branches of the wood here in the forest, so to speak, over the birches, straight into the shack. So I'm hooked up on a wire this time, and I'm hooked up on Hotmail and Microsoft Messenger, and every time I get an email, there's a small box popping up telling me that I've got mail. So I could see there was an incoming mail from you, and therefore I could easily catch you now. It's very, very handy. Having internet together with a radio is so good. But tell me, did you have any radio plans for Rome? Mike Zero, Hotel Baker Radio, Sugar Mike 4, Fox, Queen Whiskey, over.
Okay, Rolf, real good. 100% copy. A little bit of QSB. Yeah, of course, we're bringing most of the equipment. I think my shack will be a bit smaller there, so I'm trying to decide what to send into storage. But we'll have almost all the gear, and the most important thing is that the workbench will be there. We'll definitely be melting solder in Rome. And there's a very active home brewing and QRP community there, and I'm really looking forward to meeting those guys and some great Italian home brewers and QRP operators. So I'm really looking forward to that. It is, of course, the land of Marconi, so it's a good place to be a radio amateur, I think. And yeah, I'll bring the gear, and we'll be able to talk from there. And I agree with you; it's great fun to have the internet and the radio. I was cheating a bit because I sent you an email first, or else you might not have noticed the QRP signal coming in. So it worked out fine. Well, once again, SM4FQW, M0HBR. Okay, Rolf, real good. I won't keep it long. I know it's a difficult copy. I'll send you an email. 7373, Rolf, and thanks very much for the nice QSO. And have a good weekend up there at the country place. SM4FQW, 73 from M0HBR.
73 thanks a lot for the contact.
Bye-bye. All right. It was great. Thanks for thanks to Rolf for the QSO. And for all the help in the past in adjusting my transmitters and putting up with this crazy homebrew gear. All right, guys, I think I'll just do some web news now, what's been happening on the various websites associated with this podcast. Last week I had talked about the articles by Michael Hopkins, AB5L, on the 5-meter Liberation Army led by the reincarnation of Frank Jones. And a few people wrote in asking if I knew where those articles could be found. And sure enough, somebody out there had pulled these emailed articles together and put them on one website. A great service to the radio ham radio community. And I put the link to that on the Gadgeteer News page. So just go to www.gadgeteer.us and scroll down to the link to Gadgeteer News, and you'll find the full collection of the FMLA articles. I really like them. It may be a bit of an acquired taste. It may not be for everybody, but you don't get too many opportunities to read fiction about ham radio and ham radio home brewing. So, well, I say three cheers for Michael Hopkins and the FMLA. I wish them success in their efforts to liberate 5 meters from the baby monitors. Soda Smoke made Wikipedia. I guess it's not a very exclusive club, since just about everything can be included in there. But Peter, VK3 PB, was kind enough to put a link to Solder Smoke in an article about the amateur radio's impact on popular culture. And we got mentioned, and the Amateur Logic TV guys were also put in there. So I sent the Amateur Logic folks a note saying that we're all becoming famous and we may have to think about hiring agents. But glad to be in Wikipedia. On the video pages, the video links part of www.gadgeteer.us, I found some videos over the last few weeks that I think you guys would like. There's one in there about flying motorcycles. A guy who's made a motorcycle that has the ability to fly. Somehow, this just seemed appropriate for us. And there was a collection of videos from Summits on the Air operations. And there's a whole collection of YouTube videos, guys putting video of their operations on tops of mountains, summits on the air. I thought you guys would like that. I put that a link to that up there. Let's see what else. I guess let's see. It may be time. I think it is. I think everybody's awake. I've gotten some. There you go. Hold on. You know it's coming. Here it is. Cover your ears. Now, that wasn't too bad. I've been receiving complaints about ear damage and overmodulation and all that. Time for Solder Smoke Mailbag. Got some nice email this week. Got one from Woody, KF4TQJ, talking about how much he enjoys the solder smoke. We got a real nice email from Dan, KB9JLO. I had read one of Dan's emails to the QRPL group a while back, and he talks a little bit about his adventures in home brewing and the assistance that he's been receiving from Pete, W6JFR. Pete's been his kind of long-distance Elmer and mentor in home brewing with great success, because he's got Dan has got his BitX20 on the air. He talks about one humorous note. He said, Pete W6JFR was trying to teach me to look for what he called a Christmas tree pattern on my newly purchased oscilloscope at each stage of the transmitter. And obviously Pete was talking about the pattern you get when you're modulating the thing. He said, after zeroing out the carrier, he says, there was a little communication problem, being that we were 1,000+ miles away from each other. I thought he meant a Christmas tree up and down. And of course, he meant it as horizontal. The humorous aspect of helping someone over email and the phone. Yeah, well, we'll find business there. And congrats both to Dan and to Pete for successfully completing that project. However, Dan, I know you're a relatively new ham, and I must point out here that in your use of the word cool, spelled K-E-W-L, well, all I can say there, old man, is that, well, you're getting dangerously close to the people on the Make blog, who have been describing their soldering as awesome and totally whacked. this may be just a new generation term here, but anyway, I just wanted to point out that you're getting close to the awesome and totally whacked terminology there, so you might want to think about that before you use these terms on 40 meters. But congrats there, of course, Dan. I'm just kidding, and congrats on the BitX20. There's something wasn't sent to me, but I thought it was really cool. There I am, cool. K-E-W-L. See, Dan, you're having an influence. I thought this was really, really interesting. An email that came across the GQRP group this week. It's called Crystal Set QSO Tonight. It says here, this is from Roger, G3XBM. Further to this thread on crystal sets, M0BXT and I had a fun QSO tonight on crossband AM over 3 kilometers. I was on 144.55 megahertz AM with the FT817, and he came on 80 meters using 25 watts, which I was receiving on my little crystal set. His 80 meter AM signal was solid, and he was also just copyable with 10 dB of attenuation in the antenna lead, so was readable with about 2.5 watts of AM. Now listen to this. Listen to Roger's receiver. My receiver consists of a red T50-6 toroid with about 30 turns and a one-turn antenna tap, 365 picofarad variable capacitor, germanium diode, 470K resistor, and a crystal earpiece. That's it. That was actually used in a QSO. The antenna was 50-odd feet of wire with central heating radiator ground. This can hear about negative 55 dBm. Great fun and worth repeating with a MOSFET crystal set at some point. In the USA, they are having QSOs over hundreds of miles on 80-meter AM with crystal sets on the receiver, but running a fair bit more on TX to big antennas. I had not been aware of the guys who were doing experiments with crystal receivers on the ham bands, and I thought that was really interesting. Let's see what else. I guess that's it for... let me see. Hold on. Oh, we got a real nice... email from ON4AW in Antwerp, and he sent us some very nice links about art in ham radio, and it was really good to hear from him. So thanks for the email there, old man. It was great. Let's see. I guess this is what we can call the Solder Smoke book review segment. Ah, there's the book underneath the microphone. I've occasionally mentioned books by the physicist Richard Feynman, and all of his books it's great stuff. And he's just a fantastic writer and teacher, and well, Nobel Prize winner, one of the great physicists of the 20th century, up there in the Einstein League certainly, and a fellow New Yorker who never lost his very thick Brooklyn accent. I've mentioned some of the videos about. Feynman on YouTube and other places, and I've got all kinds of his books here, but I had lost, I guess, the book that is most related to ham radio, and I found it as part of my shack cleaning this week, and I want to recommend it to you guys. I think you'd get a kick out of it. This one is called "Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman: Adventures of a Curious Character" by Richard P. Feynman, and the very first chapter, we'll let you guys know why you need this book. It's in part one, and part one is entitled "From Far Rockaway to MIT," which is the journey that Feynman took as a young fellow, and the very first chapter is called "He Fixes Radios by Thinking." And it describes, I think, in very classically Feynman, in a very classically Feynman way, how he got into to radio and electronics as a kid, and a little workshop that he built when he was 11 or 12, and the crystal radios that he built, and how he used to use this radio to tune in some of the radio programs from stations that were a bit further east than him, so that he could tell everybody what was going to happen in the radio show as I sat around the radio and listened to it in Brooklyn. And how he got into the radio repair business as a kid, how he had become quite good at repairing the simple radio receivers, tube-type radio receivers that they were using, and how he started up a little bit of a business as a kid fixing radios. And the title refers to the fact that, of course, the most powerful troubleshooting device is the human brain there, and he would just talk about how he would mentally go through a troubleshooting process there to figure out what was wrong with the radio. Anyway, it's a great book. I'll put a link up to it on the Gadgeteer News page. But all kinds of great chapters in there. The amateur scientist, the dignified professor, his electricity fire, bringing culture to the physicists, found out in Paris, cargo cult science. Great stuff. Good read. So that's the Solder Smoke book of the week. All right. Let's see. Looking through the papers here. Sad news, one of the Mercury 7 astronauts passed on, Wally Schirra, great guy. I always loved reading about him and the other Mercury 7 astronauts, especially in Tom Wolfe's book, The Right Stuff. And Wally certainly had it. So Godspeed there, Wally Schirra. That's it for Solder Smoke this week. Keep the emails coming in. I'll keep you guys posted on the W7ZOI watt meter project. If I forget to say it, or if we don't have another Solder Smoke between now and then, good luck to everybody who's heading off to 4 days in May and the big Dayton Hamvention. Hope you all enjoy it, and hope you have some real good QRP and homebrew experiences there. For now, 73 from London.